This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to the Zoomer Week in Review, brought to you by CARP, fighting for financial security for our seniors. Find out more at carp.ca.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Zoomer Week in Review, all things Zoomer worldwide. I'm Christine Ross for Libby-Znaimer. Shocking real estate fraud leaves Zoomers most at risk. Word of a potential ban on gas stoves in the U.S. has ignited a controversy. But first, here are your Zoomer headlines from around the world. A key pandemic food benefit is set to end in the United States, putting some seniors at risk. Emergency allotments of what used to be called food stamps have been in place for 2 years, but they're going to expire soon under a new government spending bill. The increased benefits were intended to stop once the government declared an end to the COVID public health emergency. But although public health emergency has been extended until April, the allotments will end earlier in February. Researchers in Singapore say when it comes to adults with hearing problems, those who wear hearing aids are almost 20% less likely to show signs of cognitive decline compared to those who did not. The relationship is preliminary, but even so, it supports previous research linking hearing loss to cognitive decline. In fact, a loss of hearing is one of the top risk factors for dementia, along with smoking, physical inactivity, and obesity. A second theory suggests that people with hearing issues use more cognitive power to listen, leaving little energy for them to focus or remember what they're actually listening to. Yet another theory suggests that hearing loss makes social interactions harder, leading to loneliness, which is a risk factor for dementia. This week, we marked International Holocaust Remembrance Day, and a new survey shows a disturbing lack of awareness of key historical facts about the genocide. The survey in the Netherlands, commissioned by a Jewish group, has prompted calls for better education in the nation that was home to diarist Anne Frank and her family. The survey found that just over half of all respondents and 6 in 10 of those aged 18 to 39 did not know that 6 million Jews were murdered, and more than a quarter believe the figure is 2 million or fewer. The poll also found that the number of respondents who believe the Holocaust is a myth was higher than any of the other 5 nations previously surveyed by the organization. In a landmark case, a 76-year-old Washington retiree is suing the District of Columbia because she says the marijuana smoke coming from her 73-year-old neighbor's apartment has invaded her home and is ruining her life. Josepha Ippolito Shepherd, who says she'll never move from her home of 30 years, is asking the city to ban smoking in multi-unit buildings. She's asked the landlord next door to evict her neighbor and told him to stop smoking inside. Both have rejected her request. The lawsuit is the first of its kind in D.C., which legalized medical cannabis in 2010 and recreational use in 2015, so it is technically not against the law.
I'm just a run-of-the-mill guy who just does something which has helped me get through my week.
100-year-old Peter Davies, who volunteers his time teaching elementary school children to read, was recently honored by the UK government. Peter started volunteering 6 years ago after his wife of 72 years died. The centenarian says helping children gives him street cred in his town. Davies, who is the oldest recipient of the British Empire Medal Award, said he thought it was some sort of con at first when he opened up the letter informing him he was being honored. I'm Christine Ross, and those are your Zoomer headlines from around the world. It sparked debate in recent weeks with word the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission was looking to take action on hazards posed by gas stoves used in millions of homes. An outright ban is now off the table, but the renewed concern has ignited debate in the U.S. and in Canada. So what should consumers do? We reached Dr. Jeffrey Siegel, a professor of civil and mineral engineering at the University of Toronto. Jeffrey Siegel, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So there are studies showing the health risks and dangers of gas stoves. What are those risks?
So when you burn natural gas, you produce a variety of pollutants. They include things like nitrous oxides. And nitrous oxides are one example of a respiratory pollutant that has health effects.
So last week, there was lots of talk in the media about a possible ban in the United States on gas stoves. Now, there will not be an outright ban now, but it did cause alarm for many consumers who have gas stoves. How can we mitigate health risks if we have a gas stove?
Yeah, so I'll answer that, but I think there's a much bigger part of the story that's really important, and that is all cooking creates a variety of pollutants that are harmful to our health. And so, you know, natural gas, burning natural gas is certainly important, but when we cook, there is also pollution that comes from heated surfaces. There's kind of a layer of stuff on every surface in our home, and when we heat it, it comes off as particles that can be quite harmful, as well as what we're cooking. For example, if you're frying something, it depends on the temperature and the oil and the style of cooking, but you're also producing a bunch of harmful pollutants. And so natural gas is important, but so are those other things. And so the solution is proper ventilation of the cooking surface. So a range hood fan that works well and that, you know, we're actually using is really the best defense.
And the study last week that was published claims that almost 13% of childhood asthma can be linked directly to gas stoves. Now, I know you're not a medical doctor, but there has been at least one Canadian pediatrician who weighed in on it, saying that he is skeptical. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think it's one of those scientific findings that's got a grain of truth, but I'm also somewhat skeptical. And I'm skeptical because I think natural gas stoves might be important, but a lot of other things might happen at the same time that you use a natural gas stove. And so, for example, there have been studies that shown that in some circumstances, people who have natural gas stoves might do a certain amount of heating of their home with the natural gas oven, particularly in certain contexts. And that obviously is not a great idea from an air pollution perspective. And so I think we have to be very careful about, is it just the natural gas or is it a whole host of things of which natural gas kind of is correlated or goes along with those things?
So even for people with electric ranges who want to mitigate risks, in addition to a good range hood, is there something else we can do? Maybe less cooking, one pot cooking, for instance?
Yeah, so I'm really wary of telling people, like, changing the way they cook or how to cook. I'm not sure that going from you know, two pots to one pot is actually causing, I mean, sure, it's causing less pollution, but you know, eating and cooking are important too. And so I come back to range hood fans. Now, I do want to acknowledge that, you know, there's a lot of problems. A lot of people perhaps living in older homes or in apartment buildings don't have a range hood fan or don't have one that works well. You know, maybe there is a range hood fan, but it's really noisy. Or maybe it's what we call a recirculating range hood fan that just puts the air pollution right back in the kitchen. And so, you know, there's a lot of, I don't want to say make it sound like it's really simple. We'll just use your range hood fan, because not everyone has one. But that really is where we should be moving. Everyone should have a good range hood fan and should know how to use it well to protect themselves and their family.
So to sum up with your expertise, what would you recommend with consumers who maybe now are a little bit leery? They're looking at their gas stove and thinking, do I need to retrofit my home, my kitchen at the moment?
Yeah, so definitely, you know, when it comes time to replace your natural gas stove, you might choose to replace it with something else. But the most important thing you can do is to make sure that you've got a good range hood fan and that you're using it. And if you can't have a range hood fan, then you want to make sure that you're venting the kitchen well. So perhaps opening a window if you can. You know, it's not perfect because it doesn't get rid of all the pollutants from cooking, but certainly something like a good HEPA filter operating in the kitchen can help. The good news is that, you know, if you do put in a good range hood fan and use it, you're doing a lot. In fact, almost everything to solve the problem.
Dr. Jeffrey Siegel, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
That was Dr. Jeffrey Siegel, a professor of civil and mineral engineering at the University of Toronto. I'm Christine Ross, and this is the Zoomer Week in Review. Coming up, imagine relaxing on a tropical beach while back home, thieves were selling your home without your knowledge.
You're listening to the Zoomer Week in Review, brought to you by CARP, fighting to hold politicians accountable for better health care. Find out more at carp.ca.
It's hard to believe, and it's happening more than you may think. Organized crime groups are behind a string of real estate frauds in the GTA. 30 homes have either been sold or mortgaged without the real owner's knowledge. And experts say the majority of victims are Zoomers. So what can you do to safeguard against becoming a victim? I spoke with Brian King, president of private investigation firm King International Advisory Group. When people hear this news, they're gobsmacked. How can your home be sold right out from under you by strangers, in this case, scammers, criminals, without the owner's knowledge?
Well, I mean, they're fairly proficient at this activity. They know what they're doing. People that are typically targeted, but not targeted because of who they are, it's what they have. And typically, the fraudsters are looking for homes that have a high equity value in them. In other words, a home that is either free and clear of any mortgages or has a low mortgage in comparison to its value. And these people are quite good. They usually have the help of or someone that has been in that professional chain of real estate transactions in the past. So they know what they're doing.
I was just about to ask you to profile for me the type of homeowner, which you have just done. So can we assume then that a lot of boomers could be targeted in this if they're homes that with mortgages that are mostly paid off?
Boomers are probably the ones that should be the most concerned. Based on the profiling that I've seen in a lot of cases, people that bought their homes in the 80s and 90s and even subsequent, but that have paid their mortgages off, because these people somehow have access to land title records, and they're looking for homes that typically are free and clear. Title insurance, which is one of the protections that we have, only became sort of vogue in Canada, I want to say early to mid-2000s. So a lot of people that bought their homes in the 1990s or 80s or even going back to the 70s would not have likely purchased title insurance.
So are they on the hook for the losses?
No. The law is fairly clear in Canada that if you're the rightful homeowner and you've been the victim of fraud, eventually the home will be, eventually transferred back into your name. But because this whole process by the fraudsters is done legally through lawyers, et cetera, that are also being doped in this process, the homeowner would be stuck with navigating through the legal system to get the home back in their own title. And this can take anywhere, typically what I'm seeing, from 12 months to a year and a half. As well, the fraudsters usually sell all the furniture because they want the house to be empty when the new homeowners take possession. So in that case, they also lost all their worldly possessions. So it is quite a disturbing fraud to have happen to you, especially for people that are in the in their twilight years. The worst, of course, is when we have an unsuspecting legitimate purchaser buy the home, because then they take possession and move in, and all of a sudden now you've got two victims. You've got the legitimate homeowner, and then you have the poor person that bought the home, who now is in a quandary because, he's gone through the legal process of buying the home. So legally it's in his name, and he may have taken out a mortgage. And so he now has he bought a home for $2 million and mortgaged $1 million. He now has a mortgage with, let's say, the Bank of Nova Scotia for $1 million on the home.
We talk about online fraud where there doesn't have to be a physical person. But in this case,
you would think that with lawyers involved, that there would have to be someone up front posing as a homeowner.
You would think that the lawyers would catch this. The problem is that real estate lawyers are not investigators. Typically, the people that are front-facing on the IDs are stand-ins. They're paid people because the true people that are receiving the money never want their faces to be seen.
Is there anything people can do to safeguard against this happening to them?
Well, the first thing, of course, is to have title insurance. Watch for any unusual mail, because sometimes the fraudsters are forced to, you know, purchase things like property insurance. If you're going to be away for a lengthy period of time, you know, for more than a few weeks, if it's going to be months or even years, have somebody living in the house that you trust, or at least make it look like the house is being lived in. Keep a vehicle in the driveway. Don't make the house look like it's fake.
Brian King, thank you so much for this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Brian King, president of private investigation firm King International Advisory Group. And that brings us to the end of this week's edition of the Zoomer Week in Review. I'm Christine Ross for Libby Znaimer. Thanks for joining me today. Be sure to come back next week to stay up to date with all things Zoomer worldwide.
Zoomer Week in Review is produced by Zeev Hadi, Christine Ross, and Paul Thomas. Technical producer, Justin Eacock. Executive producer, Moses Znaimer. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.